You're writing your life story.
You bet I am.
Am I in it?
You just entered.
Welcome to Another Movie Podcast, the show dedicated to confusing the ever-loving shit out of you with stories that may or may not include lifeguards, busted sniper scopes, and blue-blooded individuals. I'm Oscar. With me today is...
Luke.
Yes, that's right. And...
Ralph.
Right on. This is episode number 24. Welcome, everybody. We are doing three films as usual as part of our animation marathon. We are here to review possibly the most confusing movie of all time, Roxophon. Can you say the whole title? Roxophon...
The motion picture?
No. There's Latin after that. Roxophon
Pluralitas Concento?
Pluralitas Concento. Okay. We'll also be reviewing...
We'll probably, butchered the fuck out of it.
Butcher the shit out of it, right. And we'll be also reviewing Doug Liman's latest film, The Wall, starring that wrestling guy and that other guy from that movie.
John Cena?
Yeah.
I didn't see him.
And Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Yeah.
And then we'll conclude our this week's review with a newer film, Baywatch, with The Rock and Zac Efron, right? And yeah. That's all I can remember from the trailer. Feedback can always be sent to podmoviecast@gmail.com. Podmoviecast is also where you can follow us on Twitter. And more importantly than all that is otherpodcast.com is where you can find us on the website too for everything we have. Now, before we get into our first review of the evening, we'll start talking about some of the films we've been watching over the last 2 weeks. Luke, you have two films that
yes.
You've seen, right?
Yes, I watched two documentaries.
What's the first?
First one is called Minimalism, a documentary about the important things. It's pretty much the journey of these two guys that were friends since like fifth grade, Joshua Fields Milburn and Ryan Nicodemus. With these guys kind of somewhat of a broken childhood, get into the real world, get into like a corporate job. They're making like six-figure salaries, have huge houses, luxury cars, all that stuff. But, in a way, they're like really miserable. And then Joshua, in one month, his mom dies from cancer. His wife leaves him, so they end the marriage. And then like a couple months later, he's like, super happy because he found this whole thing about minimalism. And Ryan, he's like,
I thought you were going with like a woman joke at the end there.
No.
Okay.
and then Ryan, who's like, same thing, six-figure job and whatever, he's miserable too. So he's like, why the hell are you so happy, man? What did you do? He's like, oh, I found this thing called minimalism. And he kind of explained it to him. He's like, fuck it, yeah, I'm doing this.
No, his first question was, how much is it?
No. Okay. And then pretty much it's tells them and everything they're doing. They released a book, they quit their jobs, they pretty much just tour right now, and they pretty much completely changed their lives around just by only having stuff that they needed and mattered to them. And it's them, but they also have a lot of other people that they go and interview. They interview I think his name is Dan Harris. He was like an anchor on NBC Nightline or something, and he's been to like all these war zones, and like he pretty much had it all when he came back, because he went to Iraq and Pakistan when it was right after 9/11. But then like one day he gets like a fucking mental breakdown on live TV, so then he has to like step back from his life and kind of realize what's important to him and starts doing like hippie shit, like meditating. And then they also like talk to other
that's
people
hippie shit,
I don't think it's hippie shit.
I know I was like calling it that though. Then there's also this other guy who's got like six kids and his wife, and they're all like super minimalists. There's another guy his name is Leo Babuda or something. Probably butchered his name too. There's another guy that they follow. His name is like Colin. He pretty much...
Well, explain minimalist though. You just said it's just things that are important to them. Okay, what is that though? Like what did it's...
Pretty much, okay, so... When Joshua went to, his mom lived in Florida, so he flew off there, and he goes, okay, I gotta get rid of all her stuff. He's like, well, I don't want to get rid of her stuff, so what he was gonna do was get the biggest U-Haul truck and rent the biggest storage unit he could find back at his hometown and have just everything moved over there. As he was going through all her stuff, he found, like, four boxes of, under her bed. Well, literally the number 1, 2, 3, and 4. So he takes them out and, like, looks at them and is like, it was all his paperwork from when he was in first, second, third, and fourth grade. Obviously, these haven't been opened in decades. And he's like, why the hell did she keep these, Obviously, it's sentimental, but, the memories are there. So he said, you know what, fuck it. I'm canceling the truck. I'm canceling the thing. I'm selling everything, and I'm just going to donate the rest of it. When he got home and his marriage ended, same thing. You know what? I'm going to give up my house. I'm going to get a small apartment, give up my car, everything. I'm just going to, you know, live with the basics. And on that, he was able to actually like talk about his actual passion, which is writing. He always wanted to be a writer, but he never could do it because he had all these like distractions and pacifiers, as he called them. So, yeah.
Well, sure.
And then same thing with Ryan. He was, his passion, I think, was more like self-help and things of like that nature. He doesn't really talk about it as much, though. But I think he's also a writer. All
right. Right on. So that's, what's it called?
Minimalism. It's available on Netflix. That's where I saw it. It kind of popped up on my, like, hey, check this out, you know. You watch documentaries, like, it's no
right, yeah, you business. Watch, yeah. What's the second one?
Second one is one that popped up right after this. It's called Small is Beautiful, a tiny house documentary. It just follows a couple people that kind of just go and build these small houses that you could pretty much attach to, like, any car. And I think it's like a 350-foot square foot
I think
house.
I've seen these, right?
Yeah. There's a show about it also.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Like Tiny Houses or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've never seen it, though.
Yeah.
This was kind of an okay documentary.
It's a very similar thing to minimalism, if you think about it.
Yeah, pretty much, because you're really restricted. And
well, it's just like a room.
The best part is, it's like they actually all built these houses by hand.
Okay.
Because they have, you could get, I guess, to get all the schematics online and tells you what to use. And then there's certain things you could just, you know, alter yourself. Like, oh, I want this type of wood or this type of door. And these people, like, you know, doing some hippie shit. They're all from, like, Portland, most likely. There's just some fucking hippies over there.
Well, there are hippies everywhere.
Yeah. Right, yeah. I just love how you discriminate immediately.
I'm not.
Sure.
They're good people. But, you know.
We don't know that.
Yeah, I'm sure they punch puppies when the one's looking in the cameras.
I mean, maybe they club sea otters.
Yeah. But it's basically, like, one of the families was like, they got laid off or something, so they kind of just moved this drastic, moved into one of these tiny houses because, fuck it, mortgage free and whatever, so.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right on. So what's it called again?
Small is Beautiful.
Small is Beautiful. I think
a tiny house documentary.
Got it.
Available on Netflix.
Will they show the progress of one family making it?
No, they do show like this, like, the process of them, like, different steps of, like,
the under the Property Brothers in it?
No, I wish.
Not watching it.
That's what. Alright, so that's what Luke's been watching. I have three things myself. One's a comedy special, two films. One is I saw Alien Covenant.
Please tell us how that went.
Enlighten us.
Remember, this we have not seen had an alien movie since Alien Resurrection. How can I help you? Go ahead.
I mean, Prometheus.
It's not called Alien. Continue.
Okay. And maybe a description here for you, dumbass. The crew of a colony ship bound for a remote planet discover an uncharted paradise with a threat beyond their imagination and must attempt a harrowing escape. The whole thing, once the plot gets going, it's basically, you know, it's like one day. It's like 24 hours of the worst hours ever, you know? It's kind of one of those kind of horrors. Like, can you survive the night kind of horror?
Right. Like, they've been there for like a month, and then all of a sudden it's like, bam!
Right. And
it
stars,
one fucking day.
This movie stars Michael Fassbender as two androids. If you remember Prometheus, he's played David. Mm-hmm. And this one, there's a version of him called Walter. Mm-hmm. Catherine Waterston also stars in it. Billy Crudup, Danny McBride in a not jokey performance, by the way. Damien Bashir, Carmen Ejogo.
You're telling me he doesn't make a single joke in this movie?
Not a single joke.
He doesn't.
Maybe one.
Okay, that's
maybe,
what I thought.
Maybe one. Like he'll like wisecrack at someone talking to him. But
there
I
you
think,
go. Okay,
I think that's it. I don't remember, but they all do that. I don't know. I don't remember that. This movie is. I'm just gonna say it right now. It is. And I don't know how you feel about Prometheus, all feelings aside, I think, other than the director, there's very few, like, the writers are all different than this one, and everything's different.
Listen, I'll tell you one thing about Prometheus right now.
I mean, we don't have to get
visually
to Prometheus.
No, visually amazing.
I would say Prometheus is more visually appealing than Alien Covenant.
Okay.
That's actually very interesting. I wonder what happened there. Must have a different DP or something. Yeah. I didn't research it that depth.
DP.
Seriously?
Yeah. Wow.
Corrupted.
Anyway, as to Covenant, first of all, the title actually kind of makes sense. I hate that title when I first saw the trailer, but it does make sense in context of when you watch it. Secondly, It is not a horror movie, guys. It's very horror things, and it does feel very horror sometimes, like for long stretches.
So is it like a thriller?
But it, like, if it is considered to be a horror movie, it's one of the worst, because like it would be like you know all those camp 80s movies, like,
yes,
like Sleepaway Camp, for example, like or Jason movies, usually Jason movies. The teenagers, right? That's in the beginning of the movie. You spend the first 10 minutes lulling them arriving at the place they're not supposed to be, and them like gonna fuck around and act teenagery,
right?
And then that night,
and then they skinny dip.
Right, and then they arrive to the destination that's going to be the murder, right? Their graves, right? This one takes like 50 steps to get there, because they have to be on the ship. They have to wake up from some solar flare,
sure,
that literally happens. They add much more steps and much more money to what a horror film from the 80s could have done, you know?
It's the sci-fi version of it.
Right, so don't consider it that. But I would say this movie's more interested in the in man, like... Or you know how Prometheus was a lot concerned about the origin of man and all this scientific, religious combination of things? This one, first of all, it does have some very good results. I should say answers given from the questions that were in Prometheus. Because, you know, if you remember Prometheus, it ends with David and that girl that survived. They fly off in the alien ship to their alien homeworld, right? They do explain exactly what happens after that. They don't show it. They explain it in the aftermath of this other ship crashing in there. And the one interesting thing about because one of the things I hated from the trailer, I think I told you, Ralph, is that I'm tired of seeing these alien movies where they're always rediscovering these eggs. I don't give a shit. It's like the same movie every single time.
Well, yeah, that's exactly why.
Because they show you that scene where the guy's discovering the egg again. I'm like, oh fuck.
Like it opens.
That's not, ooh, all, gonna that's be not at all how you think.
Okay.
And it does diminish that all quite right. a lot.
Well, because like, so literally, really good. You watch it, you're like.
It looked ridiculous, right? Which is why we didn't review it this week.
What's like watching the trailer for Transformers, and you're like, what's his name is dead.
Right.
Optimus Prime is dead, and then they show him later on in the trailer. He's fighting people. You're like, I thought he was dead.
Right. Yeah, no. And so I was worried it was going to be like very similar to that, and it wasn't. And I was glad that it wasn't, and it kept the story pretty much solid, and it has a really nice ending that yet again will make another pre-sequel.
Yeah.
That I actually kind of want to see if they keep up this level of intrigue.
Sure.
But it won't be easy because, like, there were times where I'm like, okay, we don't need that scene. Other times I'll be like, yes, please, more, right? So it has both of those. I do give it a thumbs up if you want to call it that. And I did recommend, I will recommend it here. Watch it. I wish we were reviewing it just because I want to talk about the ending especially, but it's fine. Some other time it's fine. Another movie I saw is 20th Century Women. Anyone heard of it?
Negative.
Yeah.
It was nominated recently for Best Original Screenplay this year.
Wasn't one of the actresses nominated for that?
No, but she should have been. Everybody wanted her to be. And okay. I definitely agree with that, by the way. Give me a description here. The story of a teenage boy, his mother, and two other women, who help raise him among the love and freedom of South California in 1979.
So you say the title of this movie, 20th Century Women, yeah. And then you give the description about a boy, right? And then he's like, light bulb. Yeah. I know this movie.
Those hippies.
Yeah,
it is hippie-ish by the trailer. If you've seen the trailer. Right. It stars Annette Bening, Elle Fanning, Greta Gerwig, Billy Crudup again. That's two Crudup movies in 1 month there. And the main kid is Lucas Jade Zunham? Sorry. It's written and directed by Mike Mills. That's the only reason I wanted to see it. That guy is pretty good. He did Beginners. Anyone saw Beginners?
Negative.
Nope. Okay. I don't even know what that is.
Thumbsucker?
Nope.
People watch something. Jesus.
Something, not everything.
But that. Watch that. So apparently, this is Beginners is a movie about this very old man in the modern world.
I thought we were talking about 20th Century.
It's gonna leap really nicely into what I'm talking about.
Better. Okay.
It will.
God damn
it. It's about an old man. I forget who plays him off the bat. Who he is actually trying to be gay in the modern world after his wife died, because he lived back before that was cool, right? So he's trying to live a gay life in his 80s.
Okay.
And it's a very funny kind of a very endearing kind of movie. And that is Mike Mills' father, essentially. He wrote about his father or in his oeuvre and made a fictional story narrative around something that he went through in his life. This is the same for his mother. His mother apparently raised him. And not necessarily the 20th Century Women's plot and places, everything was accurate, but he basically based his mother off Annette Bening. Or the other way around, whatever. And so it's very endearing. It would have made my top 10 probably of last year had I seen it then. And everyone did recommend it. I just didn't get a chance. And Ebony kills it. Everyone kills it, first of all. But it's all about these interpersonal relationship. Yep, they kill the kid. It's all about this interpersonal relationship, about having this man grow up to not be a horrible man. Or they're all worried he's going to be jaded or bad or an asshole. Right? They're all worried about him being an asshole of a man. And he's being raised by all these women. Like, the mother contracts his best friend, who is his age, his other girl, Elle Fanning, and Greta Gerwig, who's renting the apartment with him, who's, like, between the ages of both. And he's, like, contracted them to help him mother, you know, to help him bring him up when she's not around, because the mother can't be everywhere when he's out hanging or in concerts or whatever.
Sure.
So it's kind of hard to describe this movie without point blank telling you everything that happens. But it's a very super endearing movie. It's just more of a drama relationship movie. It's really funny. It's quirky a little bit. It's great dialogue. That's the main thing. And great acting. So I recommend it. 20th Century Women. And it's apparently very personal. So I don't know how much of it is real, but it feels very personal when you watch it.
Okay. That's cool.
Last and not least, I saw Netflix's original thing, Marianne Bamford's stand-up special, Old Baby.
Bamford is that...
The chick that did Lady Dynamite last year.
But she's the same person. Isn't she? And also, what's that show?
I don't know.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt? Doesn't she play like a friend, or is that a different girl?
I'm going to say a different girl, but I can't. I'm not 100%. I know the new season is up, by the way. I don't know. I haven't seen it. They just dropped that fucker, too. Yeah, I'm not going to catch up to that. Anyway, anyone seen Mary Bamford's stand-up before?
I don't recall who this is.
No. You would know immediately. You would know the name, because she is probably the strangest, most unique, probably, stand-up comedian that I've seen working today.
I know who she is. Yeah. She does those voices, right?
Yeah, she does those voices. Yeah, that's right. Her.
Yeah, she's not the same girl.
Apparently, she's also very personal in her stand-up. Like, she kind of lets out everything in the open of her mental illness and her family's mental illness and problems and tendencies of murder or hurting themselves and shit like that. She uses that to her comedy, and she will just, like, burst into out of nowhere with, like, talking to herself or making noises of whatever a dinosaur would sound like in that moment or whatever. You know, it's just very weird. And she brings out the most oddly genuine, spontaneous laughter for me that I can't even describe, because there's no build-up to the joke, usually. Like, it just comes out of nowhere. And you don't even know it's a joke until you're laughing sometimes, which is weird to say. And the special, the way it's set up this time, it's very cool, actually. The special starts with her talking to herself in the mirror, kind of like practicing what she's going to say. And then it moves to her talking to her boyfriend. And then from her boyfriend to a bunch of people in the living room. And then to people on the street. And then by the end of the show, she's been talking in front of a few thousands of audiences.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And then by the end, it retracts all the way to the end to show the ending of the special. So it kind of evolves that way, and it goes back down. Kind of showing her roots as she started, kind of, or her insanity, maybe. So yeah, I recommend it for everyone. It's definitely very strange and kooky. If you've seen any Lady Dynamite, it's in the same vein. Although Lady Dynamite is definitely not for everyone either. None of this is kind of for everyone. You kind of have an acquired taste for her. But that's it. That's what I've seen. Ralph, you next.
Yes. That sounds pretty cool. I might actually give that a look. I ended up watching a movie that Luke reviewed just recently also. It's War Dogs, the 2016 movie that I kind of wanted to watch. I was excited for it in the beginning of the year of 2016, and I just never got around to it.
Yeah, too much other stuff.
Too much other
out.
Shit came out. I'm not going to read the description because we talked about it not too long ago. But this is the movie that stars Miles Teller and Jonah Hill. Even though it says Jonah Hill first and then Miles Teller, I like Miles Teller better. It was interesting. I didn't know the route. It's based on a true story somewhat. It ends on this, like, maybe this happened, because everything else is supposedly narrated and kind of, like, truthfully by Miles Teller's character. And because it's through his POV. And it's about these gun runners how he gets into gun running from being a massage therapist. Nothing to trying to, you know, trying to do something for better from his life. And then he ends up becoming a gun runner with his best friend. And then they land a huge contract deal that falls through completely, where he gets completely shafted. And that's basically the movie. And it's just about how he deals with it and how he grows from it. And it ends, like I said, in a hypothetical, because, you know, you can't technically say that if you did end that way. But it'd be cool if it did, right?
Yeah.
So overall, it was a fun movie to watch. I'd give it if it's on TV, you should watch it. You probably have fun. You probably laugh a couple times. There's some decent action stuff. So it's pretty cool. That's War Dogs. The other movie that I ended up watching that I just saw this week is Bahubali 2, The Conclusion. And I will read the description about this one. I reviewed this in our old podcast, Bahubali, the original one. I talked about it. I didn't super review it, but...
I don't remember.
Yeah, when Shiva, the son of Bahubali, learns about his heritage, he begins to look for answers. His story is juxtaposed with past events that unfolded in the Mahashimati kingdom. Basically, these guys are gods. Bahubali is a character. And in the first one, it starts off with... He's in man's world, right? Our world. And he climbs all the way up to the gods because he ends up being a god. He just never knew it, or he was the son of a god. So he's technically a god. And all that stuff. And then they tell him his past, and then they go into the past. It takes two movies to do this, and both movies are 3.5-ish hours. Okay, it's a crazy Bollywood movie. Let me give a quick... There's some big actors, obviously. This movie is directed by S.S. Rama... okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Rajamouli. And no, sorry, I got a text at the same time. And then it stars Prabhas, which is, I know he's huge, but that's it. He's got
like
one
John Smith over there.
No, it's not the John Smith. That's his name. He's like the Cher. He's got one name. What's it called? I'm gonna butcher everybody's name, so I'm just gonna stop there. But anyways, it is gigantic Bollywood. Like, you think Bollywood, and you're just like dancing, crazy love story. This is a crazy love story in God world, God realms. Think of Gods of Egypt. Unfortunately, the CG in Gods of Egypt is way better than the CG here. And a lot of the things, like, you could totally tell some of it is like...
And a lot of people hate the special effects of Gods of Egypt.
It's rough, but at the same time, like, this... The second one isn't as Bollywood. Like, there's not crazy dancing. But it's there, man. They do, like, production. Everything looks beautiful. When it does the up close, everything further shots, you could tell it's just like, okay, well, that's animated. This is sad. And that's their style, though. This is like their gigantic movie. What was I going to say? It ends where basically, like, it picks off where it lives off, where they're telling the story of his father, who's his name, same name. And they finish the story halfway through this second movie. And then they go back to the original, the beginning, where he makes it back up there and he takes his rightful place as the king of this kingdom, right? And that's basically what happens. And he fights his uncle, who ended up being the guy who killed his father. Crazy shit. Like, it's super crazy out there. It feels like a big, big soap opera thing. But it also feels just like I said, Gods of Egypt. I hate coming back to that one, but it does feel like that. It's still fun, though. Like, I still had fun with it. There's still a lot of cool stuff. It's still teaching a lot of things. It's like... They go into a lot of like, hey, I do this for this reason because you taught me these things. It was fun. A lot of the stuff looks beautiful, like I said. Just sad that I know the CG is just not there. Like, in comparison to what we're used to in Hollywood. Sad to say. But my theater was still packed, and it was like, it's been out for 3 weeks already. So, yeah. Good movie.
I mean,
I had fun.
Yeah.
Overall, I had fun with it. It wasn't as great as the first one, but it finished it all together. Like, yeah, it was okay.
Right on.
It was good.
Bahubali 2, the conclusion.
Yeah.
Find that only in select theaters.
Very select.
No, it was actually in a lot of theaters at first, and then now it's, the limited ones, yeah.
Right on. So that's what we've been watching. Let's get on to our main review, our first review, I should say, with a little film, little-known film, so little, in fact, known to the world, not to Japan. That IMDb itself doesn't know what the hell to make of this movie. If you go on the IMDb page, it's kind of funny to see the barren wasteland of information. That being said, we should probably fill that information, by the way, because we have it, too. Anyway, we're going to review Roxifon.
Source Anime News Network.
Latin title here.
Latin subtitle.
Ayato Kamina was separated from the girl he loved, Haruka Mishima, when an event occurred that was thought to have killed everyone outside of Tokyo. But one day, 3 years later, invaders suddenly attacked the city. It is then that he meets an agent of terror, Haruka Shuto, who tells him that she will give him the truth about the world. It is the beginning of a series of strange events which involve him activating a giant mecha, the Rossifon, and finding out that many people, including his own mother, have blue blood, and that he was actually living in a self-encased dimension where time moves slower than the outside world.
Six times slower, to be specific.
That's true?
Yes.
That's the end?
That is the very heavy plot summary.
Right.
Description.
So, I hope it's not an asshole answer, but why did you choose this movie for our animation marathon?
Because y'all chose Grave of the Firefly, so I got this movie. No,
so it was an asshole answer.
Right.
No, I would actually never want to watch Grave of the Fireflies.
You still haven't seen it. How do you know?
Because I know what it's about.
Yeah.
It looks depressing as fuck.
It is depressing.
Oh, no. So because originally I thought it was movies I haven't seen and one I have.
Right.
So this is the one I have seen.
Right.
That I own.
Haven't seen... You've seen Summer Wars, too.
Rossifon was one of my favorite animes back when it first came out. So, I mean, I remember, like, downloading the episodes, like, off of, like, I think, what was it?
LimeWire?
I don't think it was LimeWire. Mm-hmm. I think that's Fair what sure? I was onto, the IRC chats.
Oh, you were in IRC chats,
like,
Merc,
so? Yeah. So, like, downloading from people, yeah, those were good times.
All right, all right. So, just to make people know, this movie came out as a strange response and an answer to a short run.
26 episodes.
Okay, so I thought
full
it was
series.
I thought it was shorter. Okay,
no,
it's fine. A mini series, I guess, or a 2-season thing on.
It was just one season
of an anime called Shut Up. Just Shut Up. Anime TV show called Rossifon of the same name. I don't think there's any more to that, right? It's just Rossifon, and it's So the meat of it really comes from that show, and in response to what a lot of people contributed as to a confusing / not satisfying ending, they made this strange film. They're reviewing today that somehow it has a better ending, but it has a weaker build up.
The short version.
Exactly.
Yeah. What they did was they added an epilogue to the beginning, then they redid the ending, and they pretty much just cut up, heavily edited the 26 episodes for the middle.
And just so you guys know, you can tell it's heavily edited. One time there'll be kissing, and it'll be the end of a death scene, and cut to he's on the ship again out of nowhere.
I mean, yes.
Flying.
Right. And it's very much, you need to pay attention to every single line of dialogue, because if you miss one line, it could just screw over everything.
Yeah. And you find yourself asking a lot of questions that some get answered and many don't.
Look at this. There's a nice companion book that comes with the DVD.
Yeah, the answer question.
A companion book.
Companion.
It's actually like art book and stuff.
To the DVD.
Yeah, yeah, to the DVD. So I'm just gonna put that out there. And there are some examples of this. For example, like you think of Veronica Mars, which came from the show. People were unsatisfied by that, and that show that never ended, and even had a third season that was supposed to come but never did.
Right. Well, that was like this FBI training supposed to
be. Right. Right. For example, there's
what
that.
Happened?
There's also like fan art, fan stuff. For example, Breaking Bad came out. There's these German guys last year or this year, I think, they finished it. They did a Breaking Bad thing where they cut out all the episodes and made a 2-hour movie. It hurt. It sucked. Because cut up Breaking Bad, you know, it's a terrible idea.
What they got to do is do what they did with Westworld, and they cut up all the episodes in chronological order.
Oh, no, it was more fun the way they did. I'm fine with it. But yeah, you're right. Maybe there's some examples of that. Anyway, I'm just saying there are plenty of examples of this. They're still not super popular, but they're kind of rare, but they're out there.
Right.
So, Rossifon.
I do remember a lot of animes that kind of did this back in like the 2000s.
Maybe it's more common than I think. Yeah, I just don't know much of it. So, Rossifon. Also, another one is Cowboy Bebop, right? But that did it successfully. It just did a mission. It didn't explain anything further.
That's the only thing I like about Cowboy Bebop, because I still can't get past like the first couple episodes.
Yeah, you're weird. The show and the movie are pretty amazing. In my
opinion. Movie's great.
Well, the way I see this is like, if you don't like the movie, you're not gonna like the show. Plain and simple, it's not your cup of tea, that's perfectly fine. But most people just go, like, I love the movie, and I just think the show is a lot slower version of that. Yeah. Some people are just like, oh, I don't like the show as much. I expected the movie. Like, well, it's not all fast-paced, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I do agree that is a very good comparison. Yeah.
So, Rossifon, What are your thoughts, Ralph?
I would agree with you 100%. You missed that line of dialogue, and it's fucking hard to catch up, man. You almost have to rewind and just kind of rewatch it. It's a little rough. You can tell it's dated. There's a lot of little issues, especially far shots. Whenever you see the Razavan, there's this one specific scene that comes to mind where you're like, it's in the background, and it's like a blob. And yeah. It's just like, that's really bad done rendering. But then you get close, fucking every detail, and you're like, mm-hmm. It's great. Overall, I get what they're trying to do with like what they were, I get, because I've seen the show, like, so I get a little bit of it, right? Where what they're trying to do with this like condensed version, I just think honestly, like, you were almost better adding text to the beginning of this movie and like a quick, if it's 15 to 20 seconds of this happens, we're in this world now. And that would have been better to like get us into this world. Just because I really feel the first half of this movie is extremely confusing and really hard to get into.
Really? I think the first half is the easiest part.
No, it's not, because...
It's the second part.
Well, the second part, well, obviously you can't happen without the first, though. So, like, it's just like they throw you in there, and you're just like, it's like you got kicked out of a car, and you're like, don't fuck up. You have to keep running with it. And you're like, oh, I already fell. I already fucked up. Like, I can't keep up with you. And that's what it is. That's how it feels like, anyway. That's the sad thing. That's the sad thing about the movie. Overall, it's cool. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff in this movie. It's just, like, we talked about what Oscar said earlier, some bad stuff going on. Editing, and other than, like, what's it called, my personal issues with it, like I said earlier. But, yeah, that's how I felt about the movie. It's a little conflicted, but I like some of it. I don't hate all of it.
So
confusing is the name of the game here, guys.
No, you know, if you guys do remember watching Lost when it came out, at one point they had for the last two seasons they had this like 8-minute long like preemptive thing you could watch to refresh you on what happened in the first 4 seasons.
No, I stopped watching it at the time.
Well, they had a really cool one. I think Lost had the better example than other shows have done it.
Okay.
They had a really cool way of introducing you and showing you exactly all the insanity in 8 minutes with really flash, crazy, fast-paced thing. But it was understandable. It wasn't bad. I almost feel like this movie needed that, like 8 minutes explained, and then choose a time, a best time, to actually slow down and tell the rest of the story. Because other than that, this movie is, quite frankly, unwatchable. It is 100% unwatchable. Even if it's for the better ending, you would have to know the source material and love the source material enough for you to seek out this better quote unquote ending to a much more superior show / probably much more superior manga, which I have not read.
The manga is way different.
No, then Jesus Christ, I don't know what they're doing. But despite all that, I think that this movie is unwatchable. I cannot recommend it to anyone who has not seen the show. And even then, I don't know. I'm just saying, it's unrecommendable. No way. It can't be seen. You can't watch it. No one can watch this movie.
Well, see the kidding. Show. That's the thing. Like, that's where I fall in.
Right.
That's where I fall. That's why.
We're talking basically to the people who've seen the show.
The two people?
The two people. Not even. I'll be surprised if there's one out there listening to this right now saying,
812
oh, shit.
People have rated this on Anime News Network.
Mm. Yeah. Now they have to listen to our podcast somehow. Right? You know, so it is unwatchable. So, like, I mean, skip to the next
review. I don't know. I think it is very watchable.
Skip to the next review.
Okay, explain why would you think it's watchable?
Because we watched it.
Yeah. Well, we know the source material. I mean, so, I forgot most of it, but I still...
Same here. I don't like watch this every
But I remember
year.
The time-lapsing thing, so I wasn't confused about that right off the bat. I remember
They explained
the
it. They
was.
Told you. They even showed you the watch with the two different...
Yeah, with some great editing too.
Yeah.
No, they didn't, dude. No, it was not. A person off the street would punch in the face for watching this movie.
You just want to hate it.
No. I actually like a lot of the sci-fi stuff. It's really fun. I still don't know what the Blue Bloods is all about, but I don't care. Luke was explaining it to me, but I don't care what they were saying in that movie. Just because they threw in a line of dialogue if you missed that line of dialogue, you missed the exact thing, everything to do with the Blue Bloods, that's a bad movie, no matter what you look at.
Oh, so they should remind you every 10 seconds?
No, they should fucking do it right and slow the fuck down and do it
that,
right.
Then that's, you know? I agree with her.
Well, here's the thing. You're taking something that's like 700
they're trying
minutes
to,
long.
It's like they're trying to cram 7 books into one movie. You know how many
That's
movies
exactly
do that?
What
a lot.
Trying to do.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's a terrible idea. Yeah. This movie's terrible. You don't know what's going on.
Yes, you just got to pay attention.
You just got to know. You've seen this many times, and you want to defend your movie that you picked. But I'm sorry, this movie is unwatchable. Anyone in the world would agree that have not seen the original series. Even haven't seen it all those moons ago. Was it over 10 years ago? At least I've seen it.
Probably
more than that. Whenever you showed me the first time,
I mean, it came out in like 2002.
I asked you to let me borrow the DVDs because I want to see it because I remember liking it a lot back then. I just don't remember anymore. I don't remember all the details, but I remember thought the mechs were cool. I love the fact that Tokyo was like this
Jupiter. They call it
Tokyo Jupiter. Right? It's like has a sphere around it, and it's a very beautiful idea, and also kind of. Kind of a creepy idea. It also has a very Arrival from last year kind of feeling.
Yeah, it does.
To it.
Yeah.
It's kind of a creepy alien thing to it where time lapses differently and one planet.
There's some cool stuff in this movie.
Yeah, the people inside Tokyo think the worst of the world is a barren wasteland and can't get in, and it's kind of a nice idea.
Right, yeah. It is cool.
Potential for a lot of things.
The thing is, there's a lot of callback for me from the show that, or more expose, should I say. It does feel rushed though, and that's why I said the beginning is really hard to get going.
Yeah.
Because you're rushed. It's like jumping on a moving train. It's a lot faster than what it normally goes for everybody else that goes on.
There's a scene where they introduce these government-esque officials, where they also show that Sleeping Beauty person.
Kwan.
Word. where they show Kwan, right? And the only person we see again before another scene towards the end is that weird scientist dude that apparently was brothers to somebody
that
else.
Was
okay, I know, that wasn't a different show, right? I know, but
his name was Itsuki.
That's the only guy I remember seeing again after that. The other guys were only introduced that one time and came back at some other point way later down the road.
Almost
like, I'm supposed to remember what the fuck they're doing or what they're supposed to do.
Right.
Nobody in the right will remember that, dude. Unless they memorized the movie and read everything behind it or something. There's no way.
Yeah. It is hard to defend this movie. I agree. But I do agree with some certain aspects. Like I said, there is cool things like Oscar mentioned earlier. There is cool sci-fi in this movie. There's a lot of cool things going for the movie. Even though it's a mech movie, go figure. It's just a lot of things are left unexplained that you kind of feel like you would rather have explained. They focus more on the love story, for example, of explaining, and more, I guess, on the development of what's going on with their main character, which is fine. You should have that, right?
Yeah,
perfectly fine, right? But they never explain, I'm not saying go into the minutiae of it, but go into some explanation of, the blue blood thing, right? What?
It was all over the place. The blue blood people were the Mullians. They are the alien people.
And?
And they also live on Earth. But they can only be on Earth if they have a Dolom attached to them. Now, when you're born, you don't have blue blood right off the bat. But once you peak, like their pseudo puberty, you get blue blood.
See,
and as a true Mullian, you lose your memories.
See, that wasn't really super clear to me. You're saying it now, sure, but that wasn't super clear to me. Not in the way you're saying it.
I mean, the mother, who's Mullian, explained the whole thing.
No. Is that what you call it? Not really.
She was talking about herself, how...
Well, either way, do I want a movie dumped exposition on me? Just because, they haven't said anything in the last hour? Also, I don't know. And I don't remember what the fuck she was saying, okay? She said a lot. The fuck? Supposed to fucking... Really memorize every line of that? That's impossible.
Well, but you read the dialogue because it was in Japanese.
Yeah, it was.
So I made you guys...
And I read it. I was there. But I can't say. I don't remember her explaining everything you just said to me. I remember her saying some of that.
Right.
Not all
other things you could kind of theorize, okay.
I know someone's supposed to believe the villain. She's not lying.
So where does this... What did you call it? After the thing that they get after becoming whatever...
The Dolums?
Yeah, the Dolums.
Dolums, right.
They can only be on Earth because there's only a handful of Mullians that are on Earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
They can only be on Earth if they have a Dolom counterpart.
So how does that work, though?
It just works. It's sci-fi.
But that's not. But that's not an explanation, though. How does that work? Where does that Dolom come from?
Remember, they're an alien race. So Earth is not their main home.
I understand.
They're
going
to try to take over it. That's what the point of theirs is. They want to have it in their version of Earth. They're going to, reshape it, as they say, tune the world. But obviously, they can't because they can't have everyone and their mother there. They're only limited to a select few.
But how many are these select few? Because it feels like they're killing a bunch of them all the time. See, mean, there's something that the movie doesn't clarify for me, and that's the thing. You're saying these select few, right? And that's cool, but for me, and then this, the movie makes it feel like it's a lot more than a select few. It's more like, I don't know, a couple hundred of them are around, if not more.
It could be. I mean, if you got 6 billion people on the planet, a couple hundreds, you know,
right, but, the but they're not just Jupiter. They're in 24 million people, right? That's what ended up being.
Something like that,
something
yeah.
Something yeah, left, I right? Think or 12 right, million yeah. or something crazy like that, right? Regardless, I understand that, right? But like I'm saying, they never go into the explanation of like, what is, like, what I get that they're alien race and they're trying to, I guess, take over Earth, right?
Right.
If that's what they're trying to do, but they never go into how and why. Besides, am I expanding? Like, are they, I don't understand that.
Maybe there's a conflict of motivation, like clearing, like understanding.
Well, like, well, is it because they? Is it
everybody's motivation?
Well, no, I have a question.
Maybe.
Is it because they forgot?
Like,
because maybe they lose their memories.
Are people that are living in Jupiter automatically the bad guys compared to the people outside right. trying to get in?
Well, no, because, I mean, people, they're pretty much like, always erasing
right.
their minds.
Some are civilians, but some of them we saw turn into some blue bloods thing, and they become villainy, and they shoot people.
Right. How is it like her right. friends, some of her, his friends are like
guy.
The blue blood people, for example,
right.
right?
Right.
And how is it that he's technically half and half?
Right, because...
So, does that happen to every kid that they... So, let's say me and you're half and half, Luke, right? And we procreate, even though we can't, I know. But whatever, does it? Is it hit or miss? Or is it always going to be the Mu take over? The Mu gene?
The Mu will take over.
Yes. Mulian? Mulian?
Mulian, yeah. It's Mu. They just say M-U. So.
Yeah. M-U, got it.
Mu. 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 I just don't, I don't want to say M-O-O, but Mu, yeah.
Mu.
But it's Mu.
Okay.
That's why I'm saying a quick Mu. Yeah.
You know, this might have also, Prometheus and this movie might have very similar things too, because Prometheus, a lot of problems that people had with it, and I was one of them at the beginning, but seeing it now three times, much
Prometheus?
Like maybe like this, yeah, Prometheus, maybe like Roxyphon needs to be. I understand it more and I love it more. I actually like that more on top of the special effects.
Sure.
So like, when that movie came out, I don't know if you remember, there was this essay that I might have shown you, Ralph, or shown you, Luke. There was this great essay that, short, not terribly long, that explained, what was going on in that movie because it's so confusing. There's so many things that were introduced and not shown very well, that whole thing with the
alien. Might have been me, but I can't
remember. Like, a lot of stuff is kind of inferred but never explained.
Right.
And it's kind of infuriating when you first watch it.
Sure.
And this guy explained it so beautifully, and I was like thinking, like, why isn't that in the movie? But his explanation was really well done. But, and again, like, I haven't seen the movie
a
few more times after. Maybe Roxyphon will have the same effect if you watch it a few times.
Maybe it will, but that's my problem here. And, like, chime in any time, Luke, please. But, like, my problem is, like I said, the movie could have done with, like, instead of dumping me everything with this, like, lady, the mom explaining everything in parts, because she doesn't do it at one time. She never explains everything at once. She explains it, like, in random times. And, like, during, and then, like, literally, it's, random time happens, right? And then it's like, okay, now we're over here and explosions, things or whatever. Now we're not in this place anymore. Now he gets the Roxyphon. Now he gets this. Now he just killed his friend, right? And we get an explanation because now he got captive somehow, right? And it's because of the editing. I get it, right? Because they have to cut down
right.
from the show. But, like, you could have literally saved yourself a lot of problems by just giving us an explanation in the beginning and the end. Like, I'm not saying, like, explain everything, but you could have – this movie – would have, I think, been better if you just go and give it a little bit more explanation of, like, this is what's going on in the beginning, and in the end, this is kind of what happened, right? Although the end is a little bit more plainer, but in the beginning, it's hard, man. It's hard to just get in guns blazing. That's how I feel. That's how I feel coming into it. And that's how, obviously, Oscar feels.
Why do you feel it works?
What works?
Why do you feel that this movie works? Like, why does it work for you? Like, if would you really, really, truly understand it had you not seen the show, for example?
I can't. I mean, I can't answer that because
right,
I've
I know.
Been in that thing.
Have
but
you
I
seen?
Mean,
have you seen a movie like that before? Ever? We haven't seen the original. Veronica Mars was on.
Serenity for you, maybe.
Serenity, maybe.
No,
no.
I saw the Evangelion movies.
Oh yeah, how was that?
Show.
That's perfect because that's also very confusing.
That is a confusing one. Yeah. Not as, but yeah.
I mean, I just kind of just let it. Whatever. I just kind of took it with. Whatever it's going to tell me, I'm just going to, okay, accept it.
No, I'm not saying that's hard. I'm just saying, like, but once you... so you're saying that the confusion doesn't bother you?
No.
Okay, well, that's what it is.
I felt it was pretty okay. And then I went back
can
to
I just watch
review
it for the, action?
The source material.
Can I just watch it for the action?
Yeah.
Like how people can watch The Matrix for the action. You don't have to sit there and talk about the metaphysics of
and you're like, oh, there's
life
sci-fi
after death
it.
And shit.
Completely right? forgot about that.
What?
No, then you're like, there's sci-fi in this. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah. I get it. But I think what Raph and I are saying is that we're probably more prone to enjoy the brainy parts and the sci-fi like,
well, I just feel like that's
we want to understand what's going on in this world, yeah. Not just the action in it, right?
Right.
Because that's what I'm bogged down. I mean, the action's fine.
What's what I'm saying? Yeah,
yeah, I'm not complaining about the action.
That's why I talked about the movie. Like, when I saw it, like, the problem is, like, you'd have to turn off your brain if you just wanted to go for that, then. And not...
Well, this movie then quickly becomes a background movie because...
That's the problem, yeah.
There'll be a lot of scenes where they're just talking that you won't...
That you can infer, you and can't. By going, this is love scene A, this is love scene B.
Right.
He has relationship A with this person, but he really loves that other person. Right. You could infer a lot of that if you go that way. But, I mean, if we're breaking it down for what it is and, like, going line by line and trying to explain what the movie is, mm-hmm. that's where me and Oscar have the problem.
Right.
But, like I said, I do agree with you, Luke, where in the end... I think the movie's fine. Like, I'm finalizing. I like the movie, watching the movie overall. I didn't hate watching the movie. Mm-hmm. I just find it confusing as fuck. Like, it's hard to capture it on first try. Like, even though it's not my first try. It's my second try.
Yeah, this is my second time watching
only,
the film.
Yes. Yeah. It might be my third. I don't know.
No, it's my second. And I don't remember...
It's just so long ago. It's been over a decade.
It's become like a strange footnote of a joke for me. As the years passed, because when I saw the movie the first time, I was like, what the fuck is going on? And that was having seen the show recently.
And then there's this complicated relationship with the name changing of his betrothed.
That was a twist.
Sure. But that's the thing. Like, it feels like you're throwing a cog in the, you know.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Right, you're making it harder. Correct me if I'm wrong, but in the show, isn't it a big mystery that they don't know the time lapsing?
No, they don't right off the bat.
In the show?
Yeah.
So they know about the outside world? Like, do the audience knows?
Yes.
Okay.
Because as soon as he gets, you know, rescued or whatever, like, she shows, like, they're listening to the radio, and they're talking about,
in
like...
In the show I'm talking about.
Yes.
Okay.
And they're talking about, like, the Olympics or something, and he's like, what, 2024? She's like, oh, yeah.
For
like,
some reason, I thought it was...
And she tells him, like, yeah, I've got to tell you, you're different
this
now.
Many years behind. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so for some reason, I thought it was more of a mystery in the show, no. And they just, like, laid it out on this one. I don't remember. It's been so forever. All right. Anything else?
What'd you guys think about the ending?
I don't remember. Remind me a little bit. Just remind me a little bit.
Okay, so the ending is like the one weird part that it really did kind of in the movie versus the show. Because, you know, basically Haruka gets into that fucking plane, flies into the sky, and then all of a sudden it's like, it feels like it goes like fucking Twin Peaks on me, where she's like, she's no longer in the jet. She's in a fucking room with Ayato's mom, Maya, and they're kind of just talking. And that's the one part I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, at that point, it's like, you can kind of tell like Ayato is like winning versus with the whole Quan thing, for the whole twinning the world. Is he like pretty much, are they establishing what the new world is going to be or how they're going to change it?
I don't remember that. I mean, I remember the things you're saying. I don't remember feeling that way.
Because like, at the end, you know, pretty much they kind of go to their high school stuff, and they tell them, like, we're going to give you the memories of what you could have had. And then, you know, she's an old lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't like that versus the show?
I think this is before that, the whole Twin Peaks thing. That's what I'm kind of referring it to is now. Kyle, she just goes into this weird room and like everything else that happens. And like this kind of like weird other dim, like, I wouldn't say it's a, like, it's on a whole other different plane. It's kind of like Earth, but it's doesn't exist on Earth.
Okay.
In my opinion. But then at the end, you know, she's like happy. She's an old lady and she's showing, you know, her granddaughter or whatever, like pictures of like the actual life that they could have had or they have had in this different world that they've changed.
Well, what kind of reveal is that?
I don't know. That overall, that they got what they wanted?
Or that nothing they did before mattered?
Well, I'm pretty sure it did matter, because obviously if they didn't do it, the world could be completely different.
What do you think?
So what you're saying is they brokered a deal to basically both sides get what they want, or no, as much as they would. That's what you just said.
Not like brokering a deal. It's pretty much that, you know, they're able to, sounds weird, like, change the world. Like,
the world was going to change regardless, though. So the whole purpose of that scene is basically saying, listen, where, how do I get you from stop doing what you're doing? Is it me doing this for you, right? Because this is the way how I'm interpreting it, is that is it the stopping of, like, so how, is it better for me to stop you and let you get a little bit of what you want so we can eventually get what we want also here, and it's going to change the world regardless? Because in the end, the world was going to change because he became the true Razifon form, right? And he was already resonating, because it's all about sound and resonations in this movie, which we totally forgot to mention.
I was going to bring that up. The whole
sure. Well, but
there's a lot of
There's
a lot of music.
Yeah, there is. And he was going to change it regardless because he was winning, as you said. But we don't know which way he was going to change it, and that's the whole trick, right? We didn't know because the mom didn't know, because if he had. Was he still a little bit of human before he lost all his memories? He was just going to
Well, here's the thing. The whole memory loss thing, I think that's kind of something that only happens to, like, a Trumulian, whereas he had a human father.
Sure.
That is going to be why he is different.
Yeah, but not much. Basically, it's like, from my understanding, his friend wasn't a Trumulian either. Or was, right?
No, I think they were.
No, the fighter pilot guy was. But his friend, the girl...
I think she was, too.
You think she was, too?
Yes.
Because I thought she was more like half and half also.
She was losing all her memory. Because when they had the whole thing together, when they were kind of like living together, she was like, oh, he made a reference about to someone's name. He's like, I don't remember who that is. I don't know who my parents are.
Yeah.
So she was at the point of, she was just losing all her past memories.
Okay. Well... My thing is, did she broker the deal for the humans, all in all? Or did she just broker a deal for herself? I hate to say it, but that's the way I'm inferring it. And I know you say it in it feels like I'm saying it in a negative way, but that's the way it's...
I don't know, because I'm not sure what the deal would have been, but I think it's just how it ended, though.
Well, what do you think is the purpose of the conversation of the room? Is it for the mom to stop her from stopping the Razifon?
I think it's... No, the mom was kind of like, I wanted you to have the happiness, you know? That
sure, but why?
Because so the mother, she was, you know, she married, she had the child. She pretty much, when she became a Mullion and she remembered what her purpose was, it was too late because she had the child. That's why I think they had to, you know, start up with the whole Tokyo Jupiter thing. She had to stop the time, you know,
to slow down time,
essentially, so the son can take over. And kind of become what she was supposed to be. Because she was supposed to be the original person for the Razifon.
Right. Okay.
All right. So anything else on the movie? I really have nothing. I don't remember much of this at all. And so for me, I can't even wrap my mind. I can't do it. Plots everywhere. It's a scattershot. Scattershot of plot. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It makes all the sense.
Mulholland Drive makes way more sense to me.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, yes, it does. I can explain every scene in that movie over this one.
You can explain the scene, but you don't know what the...
No, I banda.
No, my interpretation of the scene. This one leaves no interpretation, kind of. Except for the ending. That's if you understand up to that point. So that's it for Razifon. You can find that not many anywhere.
No, they used to have it on Amazon Prime, but now they just have the show. You can watch the entire show.
The show. I recommend the show, definitely. At least first. So, yeah. Watch Razifon.
And if you feel unsatisfied, watch the movie.
That's
more.
R-A-H, capital X, E-P-H-O-N. Obviously, it's on our show notes for every show we do, so you can just copy it from there. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we shall review a much more simpler film, The Wall, by Doug Liman. Sniping stuff. You guys ready for it?
Slower.
Slow at what? What's going on?
Who are you talking to?
Who am I talking to?
I'm talking to God!
He started me up! He's in the somewhere! I don't know! I'm sorry, man! Give me back much more! Six bells, right! Set,
when ready! Two American soldiers are trapped by a lethal sniper with only an unsteady wall between them.
Yeah, very simple.
The Wall, yeah. Directed by Doug Liman.
Liman.
Written by Dwayne Worrell. Starring Aaron Taylor-Johnson, John Cena, and Laith Knackley. That's it. That's literally the three. It has all cast.
Doug Liman has had an interesting career. I think he began...
He's producer for all the Bourne movies, if I'm correct.
He directed two of them, at least.
He did Edge of Tomorrow as well.
I was just going to say Edge of Tomorrow.
That's a big movie, I would say.
Well, that movie didn't make a lot of money. His bigger movies are Bourne movies.
Yeah, who cares about those, though?
And United 93, was that him?
Sure, I don't know.
Or was that Paul Greengrass? I was confused those
I'm not
two.
Too sure. I just took a quick synopsis of this thing.
I was confused those two.
So, this is now playing in theaters.
Right. Not select, but also not everywhere, you know? It's a bit of both.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. Yeah, right. It's like Bahubali.
Yeah, kind of like Bahubali. Mm-hmm,
sure. Anyways. Before I get into it, and I'll give you my impressions.
You chose this over Pirates and over Alien Covenant, right?
I did choose this over Pirates and Alien Covenant. Now,
what's wrong with
Pirates? Actually, no, that's not
we
true.
We saw Pirates.
No, Pirates, we didn't see Pirates.
No, it's going to be all the same shit.
Oh, well, yeah, exactly. I chose that. Yeah. But Alien Covenant... I would have chosen, I guess... No, Pirates would have been... I chose Baywatch over that.
Over that, right.
Right, exactly.
That comes out next week.
I chose it over Alien Covenant because...
Oh, this week. Sure.
I just... Yeah, it's Alien. So.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Right.
You weren't interested. I get it.
I wasn't, yeah. You're right.
And I understood your point, too. Like, yeah, I totally got it.
Right.
The Wall's better.
So, yeah. I hope... No, maybe it wasn't. Luke, give us your impressions, if you don't mind. Without the ums and ahs that I just said a lot of.
I did not... care for this movie.
Okay.
Before or during?
During.
Okay. Just making sure.
I was kind of bored, really, sometimes.
Where did it lose you, if you don't mind me asking?
Somewhere between the start and the end of the movie. The opening scene was pretty good, but pretty much there was these times where it just kind of just got really slow and just dragged out. It was just... I know it's supposed to, I think, build up intensity or I don't know what.
And there's only 88 minutes, this movie, I think. 80-something.
Yeah.
It's a short movie.
It's shy of 90, yeah.
It just wasn't doing anything for me.
Without credits.
Yeah.
With credits, it's like an hour and a half or something.
I think that's with credits.
When it's 133.
When they have the runtime, they include credits in the runtime.
It's 130 exactly.
Oh, is it? Really?
According to IMDb.
Okay. It says 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's with credits. Yeah. All right, I understand.
Oscar?
I agree with that a little bit, what Luke said. Surprisingly, even though it's a nice short movie, it's still kind of dragged on a few times. I would say that I have some problems overall with its concept, and it feels a little too gimmicky than a movie with like a good story. Because usually a movie, not usually, like 9 times out of 10, right? I guess so, as usually. A story where it's like a minimal amount of characters, in this case just two, with a third of voiced, are on screen the whole time in one location, the story better be fucking awesome, because that's the only reason you would write something like that. I mean, you can't really, like, go crazy with the directing. And I'm not saying there aren't examples of movies doing that, but, like, you think of a movie like Tape, where that movie kind of failed because it takes place in one motel room. It's with the two characters and a third one comes in later, right? That's it. And it's all about this tape and the secrets behind this tape, right? It did some things pretty well, but it still dragged on. It still didn't merit the gimmick of a one location area shoot, right? And other ones did much better. I mean, well, I don't count Room as one of those because Room halfway through actually gets away from the room. But like there are others like Buried. Buried did a decent job, I would argue, the Ryan Reynolds film, where he is buried the whole time. He has a cell phone. He's trying to call for help to find out where he is. He doesn't know where he's buried alive from. And the movie's kind of intense that way. And it keeps the intensity going a lot more than The Wall. And The Wall, I think, fails because I think it thinks it should be like this thriller suspense thing when it could have been a drama, at least focused more on characters only. I'm not just saying Aaron Taylor-Johnson, who is, I know, the main character. But, like, I'm not just saying just him or just him as a character who is a soldier with a violent past, because that's, like, every soldier portrayed in most movies, right? It's just, like, I feel like they should have been, I don't know, something more interesting to latch onto. So, yeah, it was a little dissatisfying, unsatisfying by the time it ended. But there were cool things in it, though. I did like the sniping stuff overall. His resolve towards the third act, to get to the third act and the ending, that was cool. I like that. Yeah, I think it was earned. I mean, but also I wanted it to happen already, you know. So yeah, I mixed it. Yeah, mixed review on that.
Okay. I guess I'm the only one left. But I would go with the fact that I'm a little bit more, I guess, in your camp, Oscar. I'm a little bit more mixed. I did find it boring, especially towards the end. I felt it dragged, even though, like we've been saying, it is a short movie. It felt like it dragged some scenes.
This movie brought to you by Skittles, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, the three people in the audience all pulled their phones out and looked at their phones to see what was up in the real world while we were watching this movie. Because we were the only three people in there. Not you included, Oscar. But it just felt like, I don't know what I wanted from this movie. I guess I thought it was going to be more, although we had almost complete focus on our main actor, was Isaac, was his name in the movie, but Aaron Taylor Johnson's character. Even though we focused mainly on him, I honestly thought it was going to be more like of a shootout kind of scenario where they're trying to get angles at each other. And it was never that. It was more like I'm just surviving and you're being toyed with through this voice thing. And I didn't expect that from the movie because
it felt very phone booth-y.
Right, exactly. It did feel like that. So I just, it just felt kind of weird. I wasn't what I expected, sadly. But at the same time, like, I kind of liked how this badass sniper was luring these guys in there, how he just kept luring people in. And he's like, he knows he's gonna die, and it's almost like one of those suicide bombers. He just knows he's gonna die, but he's gonna go taking as many people as he can. Only he did it his own way. He knows how to snipe, so he's gonna do it in his way, and he's gonna snipe people, you know, kill people until he gets killed. Essentially, right. And it's just going to keep calling in bigger, bigger fish.
Yeah, it's a fun premise, but I think
it is a fun premise. But honestly, I think what they should have played at more, the fact that he was playing with them, and that he had, I never felt a threat from him as long as he was behind the wall, and I never felt also towards the end of the movie that he was going to ever kill him. Which I just never felt like he was going to kill him because it was like a cat and a mouse and. We're in a cage in the end, and the cat's just like, we're in a cage in the end. I don't have to go after you, but I can whenever I want to. And the mouse is just running around every single time, not getting close to the cat, though. Mm-hmm. And then finally, when the mouse tries to, like, maybe their exit is by the cat, and he goes, and the cat's just like, no. Like, it's not. And I'm just going to kill you. I kind of want to put it in that term. But I almost feel like if they played out the fact that this... the Haji sniper, which I think that's what they call him, right? Or what was his name in the movie?
Ghost. The Ghost or something.
Juba. That's what they call him, yeah. I almost feel like if they did the whole... If he played the whole, like, I'm hunting the world's... what's it called? Dangerous game. Most dangerous game. That would have been kind of cool. Like, I would have been a little bit better. Like, he gave them, like, a shot or something. You know, not something to that aspect. I felt maybe the movie would have been a little bit better. It just does fall short, unfortunately. And the ending is just really, whatever. The ending kind of just pissed me off because it just finishes. Right. But I liked it at the same time. Really cool that he takes down the soul. What ends up happening is, I'll quickly explain it.
Spoiler?
If you didn't get it, we're telling you the spoiler. What's it called? Is that Juba tells, basically lets believe to Isaac that he killed him. He ends up getting a shot and he gets him, and then as he gets an extraction from medevac, they're being choppered out, and he shoots the fucking chopper, and the chopper fucking goes down and kills everybody in the chopper, and then he calls for more reinforcements, saying, or no, he says everything's fine or whatever at the very end, and then that's how the movie ends. He's like, everything's fine, I read you loud and clear, because he knows everybody's call sign.
Yep.
And that's how it ends. And we never see the sniper, which we didn't have to. I didn't mind not seeing the sniper.
Right.
But I just also just it just ended there. Like, he won this battle, and it would have been, I don't know, it would have been something better. I don't know what that is, unfortunately.
I'll tell you what it is that the movie never moves on from its premise. It introduces its premise, and then the beginning, I also agree with, the beginning is really good because establishes exactly what's going on right off the bat without, like, doing any exposition necessary, because they're snipers, because there's dead people over there. They've been waiting for 8 hours. They want to go check it out. And you know shit's going to go down, and the movie starts right away.
Yeah.
So that's good. Really efficient. And you know who's the main sniper. You know who's the scoper or the spotter, right?
Yeah, spotter.
That's the name of him. it does it well. And then the premise, the real premise is that there's this, essentially, like in movie terms, there's like a god force against you that you can't see. In this case, you can only hear. And it's only influenced by the mind, so to speak. Mentally, sure. He's breaking him down mentally and stuff. And I wish that the movie moved on from that point. Like, I think we either needed to see him or should have done something to turn that premise on its head by the end. Because then it wouldn't have felt so boring during those times in the middle and towards the end. Because at some point, we won't care as much. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, at one point, I thought the movie was going to do something really bad. Remember when he confesses that it was his fault that the guy who scope he had, he died because of him. It was like a friendly fire situation.
You thought it was going to be his friend?
You thought, no, not the friend. No, that's even worse, though. No, I thought it was going to be like this was all like a gigantic setup to get him to confess to something.
Okay, I thought that, too.
And I was like,
that would have been so stupid.
Right.
Thank God it wasn't.
It wasn't, but then I realized to myself, like, that's how much I don't care about this guy's past, because it's not about that.
That's actually where it loses me around that time.
I would have preferred, like, maybe, like, a 127-hour situation where he flashbacks to the whys and wheres of his life, to how he got to his point, maybe. Like, what made him to be a spotter, what made him to take this position or not take another one that got him this one. Like, I think I would have preferred that as a cause and effect feel.
Yeah, I honestly would have preferred if the sniper, the Juba or Kuba, I forgot his name already.
Juba.
Just completely told him, like, you're not making out of here, buddy. Like, and then just, you know, completely fucked with him. Although it does feel like that when he does, like, I'm going to kill your friend if you don't tell me things.
Right.
But, like, in the end, it would have just been like, I would have more lured him, like, listen, I already know that you're there. I know you're by your scope. I could have shot you, like, 10 minutes ago. Like, and I would have just kept wounding him until he comes out literally to the very end or whatever, and then, like, leaves him just there or something like that. That would have been cooler almost.
Oh, that'd be
and it would have just been more of a struggle of, what do I do? Do I just go and commit suicide?
Right. Because someone who is vindictive as this Juba character is about defending his own country from these insurgents, which I understand. I honestly understand his point of view a lot.
Sure.
They're in his country. What the fuck are you doing here? Get out of my life.
Exactly.
But and after the war, quote unquote, is over.
Right, exactly.
He's
like, the war's over. Why are you attacking us? He's like, what do you mean? You're still in my job. I'm still in my land.
Yeah, he's still in my land. Yeah. He's doing all that. I would have not minded that. But if the movie had done that, shown a more malicious side to his treating these soldiers as playthings, or, you know, I'm gonna kill you no matter what's gonna happen to you, like, then I think I would have to want to watch his point of view at all at some point, because if you show us nothing, then he's always the villain and Aaron Taylor Johnson's always the hero. And I think the movie was trying to play a little bit of both, with the reverse talking about who's supposed to be in what country where. But, like, I think it would have shown a lot more to this character. I think a great thing that would have been, like, a plot device would have been to show Juba, like, halfway through the movie, show him to be, like, you know, he's been there forever. He's killed so many people. He has, like, 5 bullets left.
Yeah.
He has to run out at some point. Like, he has 5 bullets left on his specific gun. I don't know how calibers work, but let's say the other caliber guns don't have the same, right? And you know, that's a dilemma. He has to use 5 shots. Now we know he only has 5. Aaron Taylor-Johnson doesn't know that. But, like, now we pay attention to every shot more. And
That would have been better. I agree completely. Yeah.
I don't know.
There's a lot of things the movie could have done to be better. Luke?
Right, but then again, it gives you that, you know, essence of mystery, you know. You don't know what he has, so.
No, there is no mystery to the guy. Because he's always right. He's always, his aim is always true. We saw his efficiency of hitting the water tank, his leg in the right place, right?
The antenna.
His radio. Like, come on.
Not even the radio, he's the
invincible.
Antenna.
He's basically invincible.
Yeah.
He is the God force.
Dumb luck.
Yeah. No, it's not dumb luck.
I totally planned to shoot you in the leg and the antenna. And the water. Yeah.
I don't think it was much of a mystery, because we never gonna be shown him. If we had been shown him, then it would have been a mystery, because the mystery would have been solved. But it wasn't a mystery. He was just a character we would
never know
or see. So he's kind of...
Well, I also, like, had a lot of problems with the beginning, where right after the beginning, should I say, I guess, towards, like, after the 20-minute mark or 10-minute mark, where they get in and he just walks in, John Cena, like, nothing. Like he owns the place. Like, oh yeah, I'm calling it, whatever. Like, he never, like, the whole purpose is there's a threat, and I get they've been there for a long time, and they're like, dude, the threat's gone. Who gives a fuck, right? But, like, you were so cautious, like, 10 minutes ago.
Right.
Like, super cautious, and you don't even decide to hide behind something while you're looking at things. Like, you're going to go look at dead bodies. You don't decide to take cover. Like, and I know you don't know where cover is from, but if you're already looking that way, you would assume they're coming in and you look at you from that way. So take cover the other way, you know? I don't understand. Like, I just felt really dumb, and it also felt really, like, a lot of dumb things happened, and from these trained military people, supposedly, right? That's like a lot of things like that.
Now that part I believe.
Well, yeah, it just feels like
maybe
I wouldn't make that dumb decision.
I didn't
go
question
in.
It, I guess.
Like, and I get that there's like this whole brotherhood thing, which they touch on also. We're like, well, why do you care if he dies? Like, what is he to you? He's your brother in arms, supposedly, or whatever, right? And he talks about this whole big thing, right?
He has to sign my paycheck.
Right. Yeah. And he's like, well, he's like, you're gonna go out to him, like you're gonna risk your own life for him, and you're both gonna die. Why? What's the point? You know, she's like that. And I get they're doing it to touch on subjects, but they just touch on it, and they never, like, there's never anything further than that. I don't know. That's a lot of things in the movie just fall short, unfortunately.
Yeah, there's nothing, unfortunately, nothing else I can say about it. It's kind of a genre, a little movie genre, as in war action or war suspense, maybe.
Sure.
And it's kind of a one man show. I mean, even John Cena is barely in it, even though he's. Because he's on the floor dying from or bleeding out a lot of times until he dies.
Right.
So he's nothing. And again, the Juba is just a voice. So, I mean, as far as acting, since it's all on Aaron Taylor Johnson's head, he didn't do a bad job. I think it might be his best performance only because he's in it every frame. But, yeah, I was trying to think of some of his other movies.
He stole the scene.
Wasn't he in Kick-Ass? Right? He was Kick-Ass.
Yeah,
right?
I think he's Kick-Ass. Yeah.
That wasn't that. Was
I don't even know who he is.
He is Kick-Ass.
He's Kick-Ass.
And then he was in that movie last year, The Nocturnal Animals. He was nominated for a Golden Globe or something.
Wasn't he also in Godzilla?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I think that sounds right.
The Sun?
I don't remember that movie
I forget.
Well. I remember hating that movie a lot, though.
Yeah, I remember you hating it a lot, too.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else on the wall? I mean, it's kind of
a
bare-bones movie.
I mean, yeah, it doesn't touch on enough things, and it doesn't go on enough, whatever. It just falls short. I would have to say a pass for sure. At least on my
own. Yeah, most definite.
I wouldn't consider it a pass. There's definitely an audience for this movie. It's definitely the audience of, like, you know, just a popcorn movie. It's a good popcorn movie. Just watch it.
I don't know.
Yeah, no. I think it does well enough for that. I think because
I think the
I mean,
I think
if you're
next,
a military person, I mean,
think
you
our next
all
review
the
is a popcorn movie.
Baywatch.
Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely a raunchy comedy, but I don't. I don't, but that's a different type of, it's like an action popcorn. And
right, exactly. Well, same thing. There's an action thriller here.
I think I'd probably eat more popcorn with Baywatch than The Wall.
Yeah.
The Wall is more of a Twizzler movie.
More of a what movie?
Squizzler.
Squizzler. Okay, that's enough.
We're done.
Yeah. That means we're done. No, that means
Jesus,
we're done.
I actually
I
took
get
him
so
seriously.
Bored, I'd bite off the two ends of the Twizzler and I would like drink it like a straw.
Yeah, I've done that before.
It's the best.
It's the end of my life. All right, so that's it for The Wall, meandering, mediocre, whatever. It's a normal movie. It's a regular movie. Forgotten. We're going to move on now. Our next film is Baywatch. We're going to review that next, coming up after these... Not these. This scene.
Hey, Steph.
Hey.
New Kids on the Block here is from Iowa.
Oh, man. Really?
Let me ask you this. A lot of oceans in Iowa?
No, just ponds and lakes and cocky pretty boys. Hey, Mitch, what happened to that last pretty boy recruit we had?
He died.
What is this, lifeguard hazing? I'm Matt Brody. I hold the world record in the 200 meter.
Hey!
Matt Brody!
Yes, absolutely. And we still
don't give up.
Devoted lifeguard Mitch Buchanan butts heads with a brash new recruit. My apologies. Together, they uncover a local criminal plot that threatens the future of the bay.
The Watch of the Bays.
Yeah, this is Baywatch. Now playing in your theaters.
Who was it that Luke, I think you told me. We just saw this, by the way. Tonight, literally, we just came from the movie theater. So this is all really first impression review. We might hate it a month down the road or like
right,
it a lot
exactly.
more. Luke, was that you who told me something about Futurama predicted a Baywatch movie
yes.
or something?
Yeah. Did they?
In an episode?
I'm trying to think.
What was the context?
The context was they were trying to get into Fry's bank account. So did Pamela Anderson go into like the pizza place he was going and order like a slice of cheese pizza and like a drink? Because that exact amount that it cost was his PIN number. And when she went up to she was like, I'm Pamela Anderson. I started in like the Baywatch movie. And she and they're like, No. He wasn't here for that yet. She's like, oh, he didn't know I won an Oscar for that?
Well, no one's winning Oscars for this one, I don't think.
No, that's my knowledge.
We're living in a strange age, so maybe. Baywatch. I guess I'm gonna throw this to you, Ralph, but I'm gonna start off.
Well, I'll give you the cast real quick.
Oh yeah, I mean,
Obviously it starts with Dwayne Johnson, Zac Efron, Alexandra Daddario, Priyanka Chopra, which is the villain.
Yeah.
Kelly Rohrbach. My apologies. And a name that I cannot say at all, but I will try. Ilfenja Hadera.
Who's the girl from True Detective season one?
And then John Bass.
The one that Zac Efron hooks up with.
Alexandra Daddario.
That's her? Okay.
Yeah, she's also, she played another role with, she did San Andreas with.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah.
With The Rock also.
With The Rock, exactly. So,
and the mother was Carla Gugino.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, I'll never forget her, either. Yep. I'm not trying to sound weird, but she's fucking hot. Carla Gugino.
Yeah.
Duh.
Pretty great. Sin City, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Anyway, it's ridiculous. Anyway, I'm going to throw something at you, Ralph, because I know that you were conflicted in which blockbuster movie to review this time around. You had three basically big choices.
Sure.
Pirates, Baywatch, and Alien. So, we know your feelings in Alien. We talked about it earlier, but this versus Pirates. I know you haven't seen Pirates yet, but right. Did you feel like this was the right choice for you in this moment?
Overall, left the movie feeling not unsatisfied.
Mm-hmm.
I felt satisfied with what the movie was overall.
Cool.
I do have issues with the movie. I'm not going to say I don't.
Right.
But at the same time, I laughed. I had fun.
So laughed. I cried. We hugged. We kissed.
I laughed and I enjoyed the view. So.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Very eye pleasing.
Yes.
If this was an anime, it would be standard anime.
I mean, it would be High School of the Dead, too.
It would be High School of the Dead, exactly.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So, High School of the Watch. Well, no, I'm reaching.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Fuck you off. You're just dying of fire.
You could have just said High School of the Dead, Beach Days.
Luke?
yeah, it was very funny, very raunchy, pretty good so far. I mean, some parts are still boring, though, and people were, like, laughing around me, and I'm like, am I just not getting it, or I just don't find it funny?
I can see that point of view. Like, I think this movie has, like, three things all at once, probably equal parts, like 33%, action, comedy, and that could be mainly physical comedy, although usually it's one-liners,
yeah.
Like, a lot of one-liners. Nothing builds up.
Sure.
There's, like, continuation of the same type of one-liners,
right.
But that's really it. And then the rest is like eye-catching, you know, boobs and figures, and not to mention abs and shit. There's plenty of abs for that too. So it's like for everyone, really.
And dicks,
right? There's some dead dicks. There's some live dicks. I think there's one live dick. I think is on there. There's cameos that everyone can appreciate. Again, both anyone can appreciate. David Hasselhoff and Pamela Anderson.
Spoiler, jeez.
It's in the fucking credits.
Literally in the
credits.
Who
reads the credits?
And it's right there. Everyone read the credits.
No one read
it. It was dumb, though. I wish they didn't do that.
Yeah.
Because they ruined it. Like, oh, now I'm just waiting for that.
I mean,
I expected Hasselhoff. I didn't necessarily would have expected Anderson.
What's funny is that...
Is it weird that I wanted her in her VIP getup?
No. What's funny is that...
Chill's your age.
Kids, ask your parents.
Our friend forgot that Pamela Anderson because, like he said, who pays attention to the credits? That was in it because he's like at the very end. He's like, "Oh, it's gonna be Hasselhoff." I was like, "We already saw him. It's obviously gonna be Pamela Anderson."
Yep,
it's Hasselhoff in high heels.
Right,
you saw the high heels first.
Yeah.
So I think in those 32% each segment,
sure.
Some of the stuff falls more short. Some
of course.
Of stuff falls better. I would say the comedy is still the reigning champion. That and the eye catching stuff. Not that I wanted to see tits everywhere. As far as raunchy comedy goes,
sure.
There are definitely raunchier than this.
Way raunchier.
And there are also way worse.
Did anyone think that, what's it called, Lieutenant Buchanan, should have just been called LT Buchanan or something? Or LT Mitch?
I don't know. I don't know the show very well, honestly.
I think of LT because of, The Simpsons from, the boy band. He was a lieutenant, but he just added an extra dot to make it seem like he wasn't part of the military. So his name is LT whatever.
Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ivan
at Niage episode.
Okay. No, and it's coming back to me a little bit, but not enough to picture it.
It's okay.
Old
age.
Wow. Wow, that's good. Well, I just forgot this movie. I'm old now. So I think the worst part of this movie is the action. I wish they didn't lean so heavily on it. I think they should have probably relied more on the comedy, but it's there all the time, so I can't really blame them for that.
Yeah,
I don't
you're
know.
Right.
But the action is pretty subpar. Yeah, I mean, some of the stuff looked too fake for its own good.
Sure.
Other stuff, I mean, it's fine if it's ridiculous. Ace Ventura is pretty ridiculous.
Yes.
But Ace Ventura leans into a more funnier ending than an explosive one, for example. And we all saw the urchin coming back, of course. It's nothing surprising at all or interesting as far as the action goes. I don't know. It's at one point, I don't know where anybody was because that's how haphazard it was edited or filmed or,
sure.
or laid out. So as far as the action goes, I would not give it a passing grade. What do you guys think about that, watching the film? There's like four action sequences, I would say. The last one kind of ties two together or something.
Yeah, a lot of the things... I mean, they even make fun of it with, like, that whole X-Sport thing where they were, the water sport thing where they were, like, chasing each other through with, what's it called?
Yes.
And then they just, you know, come out. And I know they didn't come out unscathed, but I felt like that. It felt like, yeah, they crashed.
And the bad guy's gun ran out of clips, like, after three shots when it was convenient for him to run out so they
sure,
can fight,
right.
you know, man. And then other times they'd have, obviously, full clips, theoretically.
Right.
Things like that. Luke?
It's called a magazine.
Whatever, I don't give a shit. But what do you think about the action, though?
It was very subpar. Like, it wasn't... I don't know. Like I said, you didn't know where the people were. It's like, you know, one scene they're here, next scene they're in totally different places. It's like, okay.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
Who was the standout for you? Was it The Rock?
I mean, he was definitely the biggest thing.
I mean,
the biggest thing.
Yeah. He takes up half the screen, if not all of the screen.
Well, yeah,
and
yeah,
the other
exactly.
half is like CJ's tits.
I really like the slow motion jokes. I want to say that.
I really
that was
enjoyed
great.
That. Yeah, that was really good.
And then a nice payoff at the end.
Yeah.
I love both of the female newer Baywatchers. Again, I don't remember their names.
CJ and Summer.
I really felt that our the older one.
CJ.
Summer.
What's her name? No, CJ. Stephanie. I felt like she was just there. Like,
yeah, no, she beat that one guy up once, and then,
right. Well, they tried to incorporate her more, but literally once the movie gets to its halfway point, where it's like, hey, we're gonna have Zac Efron's character take over.
There's a portion where The Rock isn't even on there.
Right, exactly. She's completely like non-existent.
She
just don't even like. It becomes part of the, like, and I guess that's the whole point. They're trying to go like, oh, we're gonna go more with the recruits than the older people,
mm-hmm.
but even. Even one of the other chick, the girl that the new guy finds super attractive.
Ronnie's the new guy, likes CJ.
Right? Yeah, CJ. Right, exactly. Yeah. Even CJ gets like a bigger part than she'd done.
Yep. I think I laughed more at Ronnie's stuff.
Yeah, Ronnie was like the
best. I honestly
best.
Think Ronnie probably stole the thunder.
He reminded me a lot more than
what's it called?
Zach.
Than Zach would, yeah.
Yeah, because The Rock isn't making fun of himself. He's making fun of others.
Right.
Zach is being made fun of a lot.
Sure.
I would say in comparison
to the joke,
those two.
Right,
Ronnie wins more. He kind of reminds me of, if you guys remember last year's, that Harry Potter franchise film, The Beasts of something.
Sure.
Reminds me of the...
Fantastic Beasts.
And Where to Find Them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Reminds me of the everyman in that movie,
yeah.
How he steals the scene a lot, and we can relate to him the most. I'm not saying we're relating to Ronnie the most, but he steals the scenes in the comedy area for me, just the same as that guy did. I forgot the guy's name.
Exactly.
And I'm not just saying because they're both fat people, but also, you know, they're used well. So.
They are used well, yes.
And they are made fun of because they're fat in both movies, so... I guess that's silly.
Right. Well, it's not that he's fat. He's not even like fat, really.
No, just compared
just,
to them.
Well, compared to them, he's
well,
just
yeah.
out of fucking
yeah.
shape.
Well, I mean, and also the guy from Fantastic Beasts, compared to, I forgot the main guy,
sure.
the guy we all hate.
Well, that guy was fat.
The guy we all hate. I mean, he's really skinny. The skinny white British guy.
Yeah.
Eddie Redmayne?
Yeah, Eddie Redmayne. Jesus, that guy's weird.
Die.
Yeah, cough. Allergies. So, no, I mean, I'll leave it to Rafa. What other aspects do you like or hate or what?
I kind of hate that we get no backstory of, like, this self-righteousness of, like, they're trying to, I don't know, maybe they're doing, it's like a family route again. What's with family?
It works, man.
They touch on
it.
It does work. I get it. Like, we're not just...
Guardians fast.
Yeah, right, exactly. We're not just, what's it called, you know, working, we're not just co-workers, we're not whatever, this is a family or whatever, this is our house. All
with
that
weird
shit.
Incest because they're dating each other.
Yeah, exactly.
What
weird
the fuck is that going on?
But at the same time, it just felt like you don't get why he's so driven. Or what's it called? Our main character.
You're right, Ralph.
So and that's a big problem for the movie for me. They could have. I was almost hoping. I was actually really hoping for a line of dialogue that explains like why he is how he is. Like he used to be a cop, or his wife got murdered on the beach. Something,
right?
Right, anything. I just don't know what it
even
is.
Even if it's corny, right? Yeah.
Or even if it's corny, and they leave it to the fact that like he was trained by the previous Baywatch guy, and that's how they were, so that's how he is. I'm like, but that doesn't like that. That's what they leave it at, and I'm just like, dude, who watched the original Baywatch in this theater? Probably nobody.
Certainly. There was a lot of old people.
Not that.
Well, the couple in front of us were definitely.
Sure, there was, yeah. And then everybody on the right of us that took up the first section and the second section
were
nowhere near that they watched.
Younger than us, for sure.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I just felt like. Wait.
And I have seen a few episodes, but don't remember shit.
Right, exactly. That's how.
Yeah. The guy just could be passionate about his job. He doesn't need a story.
And my understanding is that it's more of a soap. Right, it's not like action heavy.
To my understanding,
it's like about the drama and the relationships.
There is a little bit of
people
both
around there, and they save a life or two every episode.
Sure,
it's like with the beginning scene, you're like, "Oh, that guy's gonna hit his head on some rocks."
Right,
saw that shit coming.
Right, I'm like, "Just hold on, man."
That was
like
every episode.
Yeah,
hit your head on the rocks.
It's possible it's a throwback to an episode too. I wonder how many throwbacks to the show is there. Right?
Yeah, right. I don't know. Would be interesting.
I guess if we know the show, maybe we wouldn't.
Well, I also think about some of the actual names.
Like, well, the Mitch guy,
Wasn't it like CJ Anna Summer?
Probably.
I think CJ was Pamela Anderson.
They sound like regular.
I honestly think CJ was Pamela Anderson.
Because she was just as blonde, just as slow-mo.
Right, exactly.
KCG,
right,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And then I don't know about anybody else, though. That's the thing.
All right.
So
this is a straight-up remake. It ain't like a torch passed down.
But it's a little bit
of
both.
I know. That's why I play it as both. They don't know what they're... Which kind of means that they just kind of went with jokey cameo laughs instead of like actually thinking of what they were trying to make.
Well, I think what they said is that they're probably not making a part two. If this does gangbusters, they will.
They will do.
Hold on. If they're probably not making a part two, that's why they don't care.
I think they already are.
But at the same time, they know that by ending it how they ended it with Pamela Anderson, spoiler, that they're basically saying this is a continuation of what the show is. And same thing with the Hasselhoff, because of what the show was, should I say. Because they're bringing in that these guys obviously at one point were Baywatch, and now they're not. So they're just taking over.
How does this compare, dare I ask, to the A-Team movie? Because that's the same thing. Old show.
Well, the difference in there is I think the action is good in the A-Team movie.
But the action is meant to be good, right?
Right, exactly.
This one, supposed to be good? The eye popping catching?
What falls short is... What falls short of, sadly, is that you have no connection to the characters in that movie.
So it's actually... Yeah. All the characters are there for, like there is literally same names.
Oh, yeah?
From the original show, yeah.
Yeah. And they're doing that a lot. Everything is remade and whatever. Everything, literally.
You got a Matt Brody in there, which was...
Really? Like, yep. That wow. Okay.
Like, first and last.
Yeah, no shit.
Same Summer Quinn.
Also, I really did enjoy about the movie is that there's a lot of callback references in the jokes. That gold medal thing, like he's like, dude, you threw it 8 feet, like it was never gonna go anywhere.
Right.
Like it was already on shore.
Like, it is like logic humor. Like right, what the fuck you think
right,
it was gonna go?
Exactly. Right. Things of that nature. Like and they just the fact that he always calls them a different name the whole time.
Oh, that was great.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
The one-liners.
Right. Exactly. There's a lot of good stuff in the comedy, and that's actually what makes the movie really strong. Mm-hmm. For me,
in parts, obviously. At least for me,
right.
I would say in parts. Anything to add to that? Anything?
Well, I know because Luke said the comedy sometimes fell short for him, or he didn't get something.
Yeah, I'm like, but I don't think it was that funny. But
well, I think it's that whole, you know, we're in a room where one person finds it funny enough that it's funny for
them. I didn't laugh really that hard. Sure. And it would get like a strong chuckle or a mild laugh from me at best, which is fine. It pales in comparison to what the Lego Batman movie did for me. Literally a laugh a minute for me. I know the different movies, but they're both comedy. So, and also based on old property, and they're all making fun of the original property. So, if anything, they're probably more similar than I think of. I kind of agree with that stuff. I don't think I needed that much action. I don't know what the main leaning of this remake, reboot, whatever fashion trend we're going, is that they want to add all this other stuff like the action to keep people going when the eye candy and the jokes are really more than enough. I mean, it's like put it this way. I would have wished, not that you mentioned it, and now I can't live without it. I wish I knew what Mitch's pass was to get him to be he's breaking the law all the time.
And I bring it up because of the fact that our other protagonists, our co-lead, what's it called, Zac Efron's character.
Yeah, we have all of him.
Right, well, we have all of him, right? Which, I guess, it looks like almost like they're trying to pass the torch down eventually to him. Which it looks very, very...
Even though The Rock's muscles are getting better as he ages.
Right. and even though that gunshot wound was non-existent.
Right. It was just like, what the fuck happened?
Well, he took the urchin adrenaline. It's the Pulp Fiction adrenaline shot clearly. Version. Yeah.
But no, it feels that we get Zac Efron's reasons and motivations and stuff like that. And then he brings up, why are you motivated? And they never answer the question. They bring it up in the movie. And that frustrates me because you're...
I actually thought he had a good point. Why do you think... I'm here to literally save lives, guarding them.
And then I don't know if that's the movie trying to tell us that we're like, hey, this is just for us to have fun, guys. Don't worry about it.
And it clearly maybe it is.
Wait, exactly. That is what it feels like. But then why bring it up almost? It just feels...
It's like they're bringing up a problem in front of our faces.
Right, exactly.
Just to say we're not going to care about it. Yeah, I agree. An example I was trying to think of is another one, 21 Jump Street, right? The movies, I mean. That one, it's like if Ice Cube was in it a lot more and we never understood why he got to that station and why he's so grumpy and the reasons he's Ice Cube in that movie. It's the same reason why I would hate that if he was the main player or second fiddle to the main player.
Yeah.
But he's not. He's a cameo. Oh, not a cameo, but he's like a
supporting role. This plays very close to 21 Jump Street, I think.
Yeah. But 21 Jump Street, even the sequel, I think, are still better than Baywatch.
Right.
And I also coming down from a person who has not seen or memorized any of the episodes from the original show, by the way.
I remember the intro.
I've only seen two episodes, maybe. Another show that I just didn't care about watching.
Sure.
Like Boy Meets World for me. I don't know how people love that, but not me. Which you know they're going to make a movie. That's going to happen.
A Boy Meets World movie?
They will. Whatever you think, they'll make it. Tetris movie? Sure.
I'm still waiting for it. Huh?
Yeah, I'm still waiting for it.
Oh, no. I'm like, they're remaking something, but it was like Dirty Dancing, I think.
Who cares?
Right. Anything else?
Swayze will make a cameo?
Who, I'm sorry?
Swayze will make a cameo?
As a ghost.
I mean, they CG everything, right?
All right.
Yeah.
They literally can.
Sure.
They can bring Paul Walker back for the next Fast movie right now. I mean, I hope they don't.
Again.
It'll be in bad taste, but... Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, Tupac did a show at Coachella, so...
Right. Anything else to add on Baywatch? Anything else you want to favor or disapprove of?
Overall, like I said, I like the visuals were good.
I might rewatch it one day on a cheap thing, but
At Home Alone.
Do we wish
dark?
This movie was a little? Do we wish this movie was a little more hardcore? Let's say, and it's either violence.
I was surprised by how much.
There's actually a lot more, blood and stuff like that. Gore-ish,
macabre.
If you want to call it, than I thought there was going to be. Well, there's body parts flying at one point. What the fuck?
The main girl at the end, right?
You're right.
So we didn't expect that, but we...
I mean, I didn't expect it to be I should have because of the cast. It's going to be a full-blown comedy thing, but...
Yeah. I thought the rated R was just mainly for the fucks and the swearing, really. All right. All right, let's see. I guess that's it for Baywatch, right? Nothing?
Yeah.
Very cool. Before we end our show, we're going to talk a little bit about...
Roger Moore.
Roger Moore. No, what?
He passed away.
When, today?
2 days ago.
Really?
How the fuck do you not know this?
I don't go online very much.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He was my Bond. He's how I saw it.
He was my Bond?
Yeah.
What, are you connected to him? The Roger Moore? I only know one Roger Moore.
That's the only one I know.
All right.
Yeah, it's The Spy Who Loved Him.
Yeah. And Moonraker.
Yeah.
He died on my wife's birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Tuesday.
See, it was a busy day. That's why. I couldn't see him. How old was he, by the way?
70-something.
All right. What do we think? I mean,
89.
Correct, yeah. Okay. That's fine.
That's not a bad thing.
That's not Prince bad.
Right, exactly.
I would say, though, that my favorite of his is The Spy Who Loved Me. Who Loved Me, sorry. That's his best movie, right? Come on.
I think so, yeah.
I mean, you can defend Moonraker all you want, but Moonraker is extra cheesier.
Oh, God.
I like Moonraker. I like Moonraker.
Moonraker had, like, the
Jaws makes it out with some astronaut girl.
I know, but dude, what the it's the end of Jaws, it's though. And he's so iconic.
But I like the biting cables, man.
I don't know.
That's just me.
Oh, no, that was my Bond. That's the first Bond that I saw.
All right.
That's the first Bond you saw?
Mm-hmm. Roger Moore.
God, I hope I got that right. Spy Who Loved Me was Roger Moore, right?
Yes.
Okay,
damn, better sure. be. Awesome. Pierce Brosnan.
Living Daylights is the one I'm thinking of. That's the other guy, right?
That's the other guy, yeah.
Yeah, that's Timothy Dalton.
Timothy Dalton, okay. Who did like two, I think. Only
two or three. All right.
I think Timothy Dalton is my Bond.
That's your Bond?
Interesting.
Yeah. I still think Pierce Brosnan is the best looking and talking Bond, but he has the worst scripts.
That's for sure.
Yeah. He was too bad that he was Bond in the 90s. Like, that was Barry, his miss.
That's some good stuff.
Well, Denise Richards for me, I guess.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, but her name was Dr. Christmas Jones or something. Right.
Why are we talking about Bond?
I don't know, but we started talking about Roger Moore. I didn't know we were going to talk about that. I was going to talk about animation recommendations.
Right.
Which we'll get into right now, inspired by Roxifon, which is, we're not going to just recommend confusing sci-fi films.
Why do you call it Roxifon?
Roxifon?
Yeah.
How do you spell it? How do you pronounce it?
I just say Roxifon.
Roxifon?
Yeah. Well, because it sounds
like
the saying,
X is fucking capitalized.
Well,
it's like existence. It's like existence. All right. Right?
I guess. Yeah.
Just go with it.
Sure.
Roxifon.
It just sounds like you're saying rock.
So we're going to recommend a couple titles here. And in vain of that movie and that show also, we have another one called, what's the full title? You guys are better at saying this title than the Neon one.
Oh, Neon Genesis Evangelion?
Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Yeah.
Does anyone remember, like, how can you recommend this movie? I haven't seen it in literally forever. But I remember really digging that story in the same way I dig the story in Roxifon after the show.
I can't remember, to be honest with you.
But it is also Big Mech. It's big
once.
Sci-fi concepts.
Yes.
It's hella trippy and all the information that it throws at you. I can't say for sure how it holds up because I haven't seen it in forever. Do you remember, Luke, how
I
it holds up?
I remember a good chunk of it.
Yeah? How can you recommend that movie if you had to? If you don't want to, maybe you hate it.
I had a friend who had a really good way of saying it.
No.
And he had this like long spiel. And how like watching it is like you're like on a train and you're enjoying this really good ride. Next thing you know, you're getting attacked by scorpions and like you go to the next car and you get like thrown acid at you. And
so it's Snowpiercer.
Yeah,
you're describing Snowpiercer.
It's you just get fucked the entire time you watch this anime.
Yeah,
and you're like, what the fuck is going on? And it never gets good.
We recommend
and
Snowpiercer
then,
here.
And then you watch the last two episodes. You're like, what the fuck just happened? So then you have to watch the movies that are essentially the last two episodes but like redone.
Yeah,
it's fucking nuts.
Yeah, it's fucking nuts, but it's an intriguing way.
But there's so much like visual clues, and it borrows heavily from like Christian Christian religion, because you know them for the Japanese is not a big thing. So
right.
Dropping it in anime is
They do it a lot.
So much
watch anything
stuff.
With Senseiya. Yeah. Right on. Recommend that also. Here's another anime, much more genre piece. I recommend Cowboy Bebop, the feature, the movie. I think it's called the movie, not the film, right?
That's called the movie. Yeah.
Cowboy Bebop, the movie. That's another anime feature film that's based on a show, also very popular, both very popular. And Luke is one of the strangest people ever because he actually prefers the movie over the show. Most people prefer the other way around, which is interesting. I recommend both, no matter what. And that movie, it's about a ragtime team of like.
Smugglers,
right? Yeah, I don't know. They're everything.
I don't know.
They murder. They murder too.
Bounty hunters, guys.
Bounty hunters. That's right. Thank you. Sorry, it's been a while. Bounty hunters who take this massive case, obviously, and it takes place in the crazy future where there's different planets and asteroids and ships and stuff. But it's treated like a Western, like a gigantic Western out in space.
Right. I mean, the running joke is the show where you get your bounties from is a guy in a cowboy outfit and everything.
Right.
Talking to you and saying, catch you later, space cowboy.
And it's just as melodramatic and out there and... into the whole Western motif and the way that people talk and people like fight. They combine with Japanese sword style with weaponry, with guns. I mean, guns blazing type of deal. It's really good. It's a nice mash of American and Japanese cultures clashing a lot.
Sure,
I recommend that. And what was the other one we mentioned earlier?
Summer Wars.
I was gonna say Samurai Champloo, but that's not it. I was gonna recommend Ninja Scroll. That's another weird one where the movie came out first, and the movie's pretty good, even though it's really violent. So be careful on that one. Ralph, you and I saw it when we were too young,
way too young.
Yeah,
and then we re-rented it and watched it again.
Yes, we did, and we enjoyed it. That's a crazy one with demons, and it takes place like an old, Kanto, Japan or something. I'm terrible with that.
I got one actually. I just thought of Oh My Goddess.
Oh, tell us, please. I don't know nothing. I know not nothing, but I know.
You know about Oh My Goddess?
I know about it by anniversary.
Was that a show for? Wasn't that?
Yeah, I think that was a show that they got. Then they made like the same thing. They made a movie out of like the show
to end it, make extra of it.
Just that they make extra, I believe. But there's been so many like. There's been a different like iterations of Oh My Goddess, so
yeah. Like by different makers, like artists and whatnot.
I mean, you could say the same thing about Saint Seiya. If that's the case,
yeah.
Saint Seiya, there's a show, and then they made movies to basically shorten the shows, but they made multiple movies about those.
Yeah, they did. And we saw the movies more.
Basically, for each saga,
we saw the movies more.
We did see the movies more.
Yeah, when we were kids,
and they added more. It added more, and it changed some things.
Yeah.
That wasn't
heavy on the Christ imagery in that one.
Oh, completely.
Jesus. Yeah. And obviously, the Zodiac, Greek Zodiac.
It has many names. It has Knights of the Zodiac.
Right.
Saint Seiya, and then there was another one, something Pegasus. I was just like strictly Pegasus. Something.
Really?
Yeah, that
one I don't know. All right. So there's some recommendations out there. Check it out. Google it. You might like what you find there. Now we end the show. You have been listening to another movie podcast. You can always follow us on Twitter at podmoviecast@gmail.com. Send us what you think on all the movies we reviewed today, this week, at podmoviecast@gmail.com. Otherpodcast.com is where our website is. You can find all the information on there. Please support us in any way that you can by reviewing us on iTunes. It is the best way to give traffic to our feed. That'll be amazing. It'll just be cool. Tell a person, tell a friend, tell a homeless man. I don't care.
Just make sure he has a cell phone.
Right.
Do us the favor. Take your friend's phone. Download the podcast.
Yep.
Rate and review us there. And if you can't do that, give me a dollar.
Give me a dollar.
I want to see.
You don't have to write a review. Just write like two periods, and it'll count as a review. And that's it. Just put the 5 stars though.
Right. You know what? Just talk about how
we're Star Horse.
Don't even write a review. Write about who you hate the most on this podcast.
Oh, yeah. I want to know.
Or who you like the best.
I'm going to get so much shit.
All right. That's cool. Before I do the actual finale here, do you guys know what our bonus episode is for the month of May?
King Arthur.
That's right. Legend of the Sword. You have to say the colon. Legend of the Sword.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think I'll be here for that one.
No, Roth and I saw it. Yeah, and that one. We saw it together.
Hopefully, I will be able to join you guys in the next 3 months.
Yeah, right. After all that. So, Roth, you and I are going to review that film. We saw it already. Sneak peek into what you think of it.
It's a movie.
It is a movie. Guy Ritchie.
Guy Ritchie.
That's right.
So, have you ever seen any of Guy Ritchie's work?
You know what to expect in a way?
You should expect something.
Yeah, wait. I would agree.
Don't spoil it, but is it like a con-type movie?
Or a con-type movie?
Yeah.
At one point it is, yes.
Oh, that's so awesome. I kind of want to see it.
Oh, yeah. There's like one or two of those.
Sure.
Oh, my God. The montages
are amazing, by the way.
Are heavy.
Oh, yeah, I love montages. Especially Guy Ritchie's.
Really? Yeah, he's really good at that.
He's really good at that.
He has a style. He has like weird.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
England, like dirty style.
I think the character, what's his guy? Charlie Hunnam?
Charlie Hunnam, yeah.
Yeah, I think he does a good job of narrating this.
Okay, so. Stop spoiling it, okay?
You're not going to watch it.
Yeah, that's true. At least not anytime soon.
Right. So remember, guys, we are a bi-weekly show. We come out every other Friday. We're on our tail end of our marathon, of our animation marathon. So it reminds me, next time on June 23rd, we shall be reviewing Persepolis. This is one of the films that I've chosen for this marathon. Persepolis is, I don't want to guess.
June 23rd?
No, I lied. Not June 23rd. I fucked that up, didn't I?
Calendars are hard.
June 9th. Calendar. My bad. That's the next one after that. June 9th. My bad.
A nice break.
I was like,
we're taking a really big break.
That's a lot of fucking breaks.
Right. No, bi-weekly. Yeah, my bad. Not bi-monthly. It's June 9th. I will be reviewing Persepolis. I don't want to spoil anything. Not many people know about it. If you cinephiles out there, you do know what it is. Check us out for that review. And we're also, since I pick those movies that month and that week, I mean, Luke, you're going to hate me on this, but you won't even be here to review them, so you're lucky.
Yeah.
We're going to review two horror movies that are coming out. One's on VOD called Raw, R-A-W.
I've heard of it, yeah.
I heard good things about
that. Oh, I
think
I saw it on iTunes.
Yeah, I'm going to buy that fucker. And
oh, cool. I might check it out.
We'll also be reviewing It Comes at Night, which will come out that weekend.
Yeah, so do I.
Okay.
It's made by...
So we're not watching Stephen King's It. Okay.
I don't think it comes out that month.
Comes out September.
Oh, is it September?
Yeah, yeah. It's
That comes out on my birthday,
Oh, we're watching that fucker.
I'm watching that for sure.
Yeah, yeah. But It Comes at Night. The reason I want to see it is not like the trailer was great or anything. It was okay.
Is
this because the director did one of the movies from the top 10 last year, Creature. Which is like a very personal family affair. He did wrote and direct a movie about it last year. I hailed it. It was my number 6th or 7th. Yep, totally hailed it. And so I'm curious about his next movie. He's doing a horror now, so I want to see it. So that's next time. Until then, my loyal listeners, I am Oscar.
And you can reach us at...
Oh, right. I forgot about that. Do we care?
At Armin Filmmaker.
That's right. How do you spell that?
A-R-M-E-N.
And Filmmaker.
I hope
Ralph.
So.
My bad.
No, it's you.
At Blind Noir.
That's what I thought.
Follow my boring Alaskan escapades.
That's right.
To Twitter if I get internet connection.
300 megabytes.
Or smoke signals.
Or smoke signals. Yeah, I'll get a telescope. You could follow me at No, that's not Sutrama. Actually, you could follow me at Sutrama on Twitch. Figure out how to spell it.
Psyox.
That's not the words I've heard. And or you could follow me at Gamer Ralph. That's with two R's and an F.
So anyhow, you elaborate to spell that one out, but
it's
not
my name.
Sue Trauma.
Yeah. S-I-O-U-X.
S-I-O-U-X.
T-R-A-U-M-A.
Right, what he said. I'm just saying, Ralph, you just like you put the work in for one and not to the other.
Right, exactly. I've already dedicated the work in one.
By the way, can you piggyback your signal or your internet boost with the Aurora Borealis over there?
I will be a little further south to see that.
Can you two south still?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, man.
Even in
Alaska's pretty fucking huge.
It is pretty big.
I guess so. You're going to find some oil?
The closest theater to me is about 400 miles away, I think. So...
They measure in miles there, not snow?
Shut up.
Sorry, I don't know.
Hopefully they have a good piracy system going on.
Yeah, maybe they do. Straight DVDs and videotapes. All right, guys. I'll see you later.
Will you quit it?
What?
I'm trying to swim here. What, the ocean isn't big enough for you or something like that?
Huh?
You got a problem, buddy? Huh? Huh? Do you? Do you? Do you?